here's the suggestion for the producers of the Jeopardy program. That's the game show where they give you the answer. You have to figure out the questions. The answer is, the only gospel in which the following line appears: there was a young man following Jesus who was covered by nothing but a linen cloth. As they seized him, he left the cloth behind and ran off naked. Do you know the question? You should, if you were paying attention to the account of the Lord's Passion, it was just proclaimed. Correct question is, what is the Gospel of Mark? Now, the fact that this earth appears only in Mark, not in John, Matthew, or Luke, this is what caused scripture scholars throughout the centuries scratch their heads and ask, why? Why did Mark, and only Mark, include this detail, this seemingly unimportant detail, is the account of our Lord's suffering and death? What's his point? Well, some, like scripture scholar William Barclay, have come to this conclusion. Mark adds this detail, this obscure detail, to the story because he was that boy. Mark's way of saying, I was there. I saw it all. It happened right before my eyes. Remember, Mark was not one of the 12. Many years later, he wrote a gospel, but he was not one of the 12 apostles. Based on what we're told in the book of Acts, Barclay theorizes that the Last Supper had actually taken place in the home of Mark and his family, which is where Judas initially took the temple guard to arrest Jesus. However, our Lord and his disciples had already left for Gethsemane. The arrival of Judas and the soldiers woke up young Mark, who had already gone to bed. He then overheard Judas suggest that they go across the Kidron Valley to Gethsemane, that Jesus had often gone there with his disciples. So Mark, being the inquisitive young man that he was, decided to follow. So he wrapped his bedsheet around himself and went out into the night. Hence, he was there in Gethsemane when the arrest occurred. And that's just a theory, Barclay's theory, shared by many other people. And I think it makes a lot of sense. Quite plausible. I mention all this today because we're at the beginning of what should be the most important week of the year for us, spiritually speaking, Holy Week. This is a special time, a grace-filled 7 days, in which we have the opportunity to leave some things behind that we need to leave behind. Think of this hearth of Scripture. We're told that Mark left something behind. He left behind his linen cloth in the Garden of Gethsemane. But please don't get me wrong. I'm not suggesting that we leave our clothes behind during Holy Week. I don't want anybody to spend the week in jail. But there are some things that we should leave behind, and we can leave behind if we choose to make Holy Week what it should be, which is holy. You know, I think it's tragic, absolutely tragic, that for many Catholics and other Christians, it's business as usual during this sacred time, except perhaps for some extra shopping and extra cooking. All that having been said, here are just some of the things that we could happily leave behind during the next 7 days. Number one, we could leave behind our misconceptions about God. Some of us may think of God as the big policeman in the sky. Some of us may think of God as a heavily IRS man whose sole purpose is to get us to pay our dues, pay our taxes in this life and in eternity. On the other end of the spectrum, some of us may think of God as the heavenly cream puff. A lot of people think of him that way these days, who doesn't care about how we live or how we treat one another. Meditating deeply on the love and holiness of God during Holy Week can correct those misconceptions, cure us of those misconceptions. We can leave them behind us, as we should. Number two, Holy Week gives us an opportunity to leave behind any anger we may have in our heart toward God because of our suffering. We all suffer. The more we understand what Jesus Christ suffered for us, the more we understand what he went through for us on Holy Thursday and Good Friday, the more we will see the relative smallness of our own cross, and the more we'll desire to offer up our sufferings in union with his, the conversion of sinners and the salvation of the world. Number three, Holy Week is an opportunity to leave behind confusion and doubt. If we're confused about the meaning of life, If we're confused about why we're here on this planet, if we doubt our value as human persons created in God's image and likeness, then we need to drink in deeply the message of Holy Week. Once again, it will cure us. And finally, and most importantly, Holy Week is an opportunity to leave behind our sin, especially any sins that we haven't been willing to face and confess in the past, any sins that we've rationalized, any sins that we've been burdened by but too ashamed to mention and confess. Here at St. Pius, you'll have an opportunity to do that four times, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, because we'll be having confession in each of those days here in church from 12 to 1 p.m. What will you leave behind this Holy Week? I invite you to ponder that question today. It's an important one. My prayer this morning that each and every one of us will leave behind everything, and I mean everything, that we need to.